The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.
We don't know where this is going to go. This is completely unscripted. AFLW, Kerr's Hire, 100% locally owned and operated in Geelong. Good enough to bring us a Cat Attack podcast with an AFLW slant. And now, Tom King with you. I didn't have to come up with somebody. I knew who I wanted. And I've wanted this person on a podcast with me ever basically since she got to Geelong. I remember meeting the number one when she first rolled into town and going, I think we could have a lot of fun together talking absolute dribble for any period of time. And I've got her, finally, Michaela Bowen. Hello, Bowie.
G'day, Kingy. How you doing?
Good. I've been wanting to do this for a while, and I think there's something that tells me you've been wanting to have this vehicle as well to be able to do something.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think the times we've spoken before, Kingy, as well, we've always probably run shorter time in terms of what we actually had, so it's unreal to have an opportunity just to chat even more, for sure.
Banter.
Absolutely.
How was your off-season?
How was my off-season? I went home. Went home to Perth in WA. Had a good month at home with my family. Mum's now moved down to Bridgetown, so got a bit of the country air.
Where's Bridgetown?
In the lungs. 3 hours out of Perth. So
going south.
Right. Yep. My sense of direction is the worst.
Past Margaret River?
No. It's Margaret River's 4 hours out of Perth, but it is like along the coast, whereas Bridgetown's 3 hours out, but more inland.
Oh, God.
I've learned that because Mum told me that, not because my sense of direction is up to scratch.
What's in Bridgetown?
Oh, my family, my mum, my sister.
But nothing else?
I mean, she'll probably listen to this, so I should tell her there's good spirits and healing energies down there, which there is. I loved it. But Mum, yeah, moved down just before I moved to Geelong, so it's not where I grew up. Grew up in a place called Darlington in WA.
Yep.
But it's now home for Mum and my little sister Grace. Grace's dad Mike and their two dogs, Teddy and Nugget.
Right. So where's Darlington in compared to Perth?
It is about 40 minutes out of the city. So I would still say bushland. I just had to do
direction?
Kingy. I will say it for a third time. My sense of direction is
come
not
on.
Here.
Which way was the sun setting when you drove home to Darlington?
I've got nothing.
I'm just trying to put in my sister lives in Perth.
Maybe. Hold on. Maybe.
Hang on, I'm going to a map.
Great. Because then I moved to North Perth. And you know where North Perth is? Yeah. North of Perth.
Perth, yeah.
Darlington doesn't give
Darlington,
me that
WA. Clarity. Let's have a look here.
Yes.
It's a suburb in Western Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm opening a map.
You can inform me.
I can let you know.
Where I grew up.
Well, apparently you go out on the... This might have helped... The Great Eastern Freeway?
Yes, Great Eastern Highway.
Oh, that means you're going east.
Oh, yes. Yes, okay, that makes more sense.
Right, I just wanted to get an idea.
Great Eastern Highway, yes.
My sister's in is Padbury, which is north.
Yes. Wow, I did a part of a carpentry apprenticeship and I built a house in Padbury.
Did you really?
Yes. Well,
might have been my
not fully myself.
Did you do a carpentry apprenticeship?
I did, yeah, part way through. I never finished it.
Will you finish it?
I love Kingy. I love being hands-on. I love everything to do with loved woodwork at school, and I find I can't sit still for too long. So the idea of a carpentry apprenticeship was very much appealing to me. I did about 2 years at the start of my career in WA with West Coast. Just too much. I just the physical labour, I think the full-time nature of the role, the early hours after finishing training at, you know, not getting home till 10, 10:30, waking up at 5 the next morning was very demanding. I know I couldn't personally pull it through, but Kiara Bowers, I know she's a carpenter, Jasmine Stewart, and, you know, they're some of the stars of the competition, so hats off to them, but it wasn't for me.
I'm useless. So if I need something knocked up at home...
Please. Whether it's... Oh, my goodness.
What can you do? What is your specialty? What can you go, all right, I can go into the garage and I can knock something up.
Furniture. Anything to do with furniture. I've built a fair bit of furniture throughout my house, my dining room table. I built a chair that I've now thrown out because it got wobbly. That was an early project. But anything wooden, anything furniture. I wasn't as much into the cabinet making side of things. Yeah. Obviously, I learned a lot of structural building from the carpentry apprenticeship, which wasn't necessarily like... wasn't necessarily something I was keen to get in on. It was just more part of the job, and I loved building things. And I think there's actually a side to carpentry that's more specific in furniture making. Mm. Maybe I got my course wrong in terms of what I was looking to do. But it's interesting you say that, because if you need your car service, I'm your gal. I love everything to do with mechanics. So I'm going to fix Kate Kenny's, one of my teammates.
Yep.
Brake lights tomorrow. I fixed Prez's. I changed Prez's flat tires. I fixed some of the girls' brakes. That's great. I just love being hands on.
When did you discover that was something you really enjoyed doing? And for you, a little bit, is it a bit of outside of footy? Is it almost a little bit of therapy?
100%. It absolutely is. And I speak often to my friends about what I'm learning about myself outside of footy in terms of feeling a little bit more introverted. And I find with footy, it does take a lot of me exerting myself when it comes to, physically, of course, but then just interacting, socialising. And I find when I'm away from the footy club, I love my own space, I love my own time. And that was something with carpentry would work. I could just put my headphones on and really just tap into a project, see it evolve. And it's the same thing with mechanics and stuff. I just personally love cars, love motorsport. And anything to do with kind of tinkering with my own car, fixing it up, helping others, I'm like, it's just me in the car, or it's just me in the table,
I'm extremely jealous because I've got no manual bent.
Right. Well, this is why we're working together here.
So at age 24, as you are now, you should never reveal a lady's age, but we can find it on Wikipedia, so why not? 24, you're learning more about yourself, and you always do. I'm 46 and I'm still learning about myself. But are you learning about yourself in different ways because you're in a professional sporting environment?
Absolutely, 100%. And I think I love that you've brought up the specifics of my situation, because I often get into moments of realising, say, for example, that the kids and the students I grew up with at school, my friends, I reckon in my younger years would question why our priorities were so different and why I sometimes struggled to maintain those friendships that others would, bond over doing things that I just didn't see any pathway forward in. And so I then, I think about my position now, and like I was about to mention, I often end up in moments of extreme gratitude, being like, I am extremely lucky to and fortunate to be in my position where growth is at the centrepiece of what we do at the Geelong Footy Club and at this elite level of sport in general. So I definitely have a passion for self-growth and allowing others to see that for themselves outside of the footy club. So I know that that's where my interest lie, but everything, when it comes to elite sport is about high performance, and at the end of the day, I've come to realize that if you are your happiest and most fulfilled off field, that's what the coaches want at the end of the day, because you play your best footy. So I'm very fortunate to be working in an environment where that's what we prioritize.
If I ever go down to AFLW training or need to go down to the club and I see a pair of feet poking out from underneath somebody's, down to the bottom of a car or something, it's likely to be you.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it will be me, for sure. I was actually, I think I'm fixing Kenny's brake light tomorrow before training. So
at the club?
At the club, yeah. That'll be in the car park. I'll bring my, I spent a fair bit of money on a toolkit. I'll put that in the back of my ute.
Really good quality one.
Yeah.
Because that's a good quality toolkit. And even I know this is somebody who's not manually competent.
You would know it with everything in your podcast equipment, It's an investment.
But it's an investment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're buying good Sidchrome or whatever the brand is.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I wasn't sure in terms of trying to work out potentially outside of footy a mechanical apprenticeship. Did a bit of a course a season ago now, just in terms of wanting to get a further interest whether I was enjoying it or not, and I loved it. I just am not sure how that would work with footy and the nature that it's going at the moment in terms of becoming more full-time. So had a fair few conversations, but I'm like, in the meantime, I love doing it. So if I can get the tools now to work in my own time, and if I eventually end up in that space, it'll do me good.
Michaela the mechanic.
Michaela the mechanic. Yes, love that.
I know, obviously, what have you been here now? You've been here since the season B 2022.
Spot on, yeah. Second
season. You contracted till next year here.
Yep.
And hopefully for longer.
I hope so too.
Is life here for you down the track? The player I think of instantly is Mitch Duncan.
Yep.
Drafted as a 18-year-old. So you weren't too dissimilar in age, what you've come over as a 21-year-old.
Yeah.
He's drafted as an 18-year-old, made life for himself here, linked obviously to whatever post-footy Eagles have been mentioned, ironically.
Oh, wow.
But for you, is it a case of I love Geelong and this could be it for me over here, or you're not phased it, you haven't worked that out yet? Worry about it when it finishes.
Well, partly worry about it when it finishes, but also I think I'm realistic enough that it could finish at any point, and that's something I do need to think about. Like you mentioned, I'm only 24, so if it's up to me and things all go full steam ahead, I'd love to be...
You're playing for another 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd love to be able to... you know, just start thinking about this in 10 plus years. But I would absolutely say that since moving to Geelong, it's become a lot more home than I thought it would be ever. Mm. I'm a very much homebody. I love my family dearly. Again, like you mentioned, moving across at 21 wasn't a security kind of comfort decision. It was more of a, I need to get the most out of my footy career. I've only got one shot at this, and I want to give it the best crack I can. And so at the time, it was like, I'm moving over. I'm going to do footy. I don't know how this allowed me to make the decision any easier, but I'm going to move over. I'm going to do footy, do what I can there, and then I am moving home. I am a WA born and bred. I love it here. I love, like I mentioned, I've got school friends there, but it was more just the footy connections I'd made back in WA.
Yep.
And I always remember I had a physio when I was playing at West Coast who moved from, I think it was Queensland, over to Perth. Similar situation, moved for work though, for physiotherapy. And always, it was extremely interesting to listen to this physio about their story and the fact that they had every intention to move over and be back within 5 years, and it had been 20 years and they're still living in Perth. So I never understood that when I was listening to my physio over there, but now sitting in a similar position where I've clearly moved across from WA with intentions footy-wise to stay here long term, I don't know what that looks like. I would say to you, I'm sitting in the middle of I'm going to stay here forever.
Yep.
Because realistically, when I've got the mindset that I'm wanting to get the best out of my footy, in order for me to do that, I feel like I need to ground myself more over here. So I bought a home over here. I would absolutely, you know, close to, if not have my closest friends over here now, which at the time at 21 years old, I'm like, I would love to meet some beautiful people over here, but my core is back in WA. I'm not sure. If we continue this podcast for another 5 years, I reckon, not even 5 years, give me another year and a bit and I'll probably be staying in Geelong my whole life. But yeah, that's where we're at the moment. But regardless, I'm loving it, just living in the present.
There's been a pay bump for AFLW players. Did you ever think that being able to play footy professionally would allow you to buy your own home?
Not at all. No, and again, extremely fortunate to be able to move across here and, negotiate something that was going to allow me to save up for my first home and, get into the market. That's something I've always wanted to do. I actually speak to my mum often about the market in Perth at the moment, and that it's just off the charts completely. Yeah. So I just, you know... Again, I had a moment last night at training. Was it last night? I think we were. And Spud looked at me, Kate Sermon. She's like, I was just looking around the stadium. I always looked like I hadn't lost my head or something. Bowie, what are you doing? I was like, Spud, we are so lucky. We are so lucky. I drive to the stadium when we're driving back from Melbourne towards Geelong. And whenever I see the stadium and I see those stadium lights, I'm like, first of all, that is so cool. Second of all, that's my workplace. That's where I exist. That's what I came here for, is this, centrepiece of Geelong. And I always look at it and I fangirl over it when I'm, you know, driving around. But then when I get to drive into it, it's pretty incredible. So extremely fortunate to be where I am in this position.
Mm-hmm. Why Geelong? Did you have options when you decided that you were moving on from the Eagles?
I did have options. I would say I had options on the table. I had options on paper, but I think in my mind, it was like, why not Geelong? Yeah. I've spoke about this before. Adam Selwood, I worked, you know, and had the closest of relationships with him. Mm-hmm. Regardless of the decision to move. But whilst I was in that decision, I was, speaking to him extremely closely, trying to get as much guidance as I could. I think I really trusted his values and his beliefs and the way that he operated. And so I'm a man of that caliber to get any sort of, any sort of guidance or recommendation off was just it for me at that age. And like I mentioned, my connection with him goes a lot deeper than the move over here, but he just couldn't have recommended them high enough. Obviously, his brother Joel, who he was and still is immensely close with, is just, you know, the centrepiece of Geelong over here. And I think he embodies what the Geelong Football Club are and are all about. And so even to have a snippet or to even think that I could be in the same environment that Joel Selwood flourished in was a pretty incredible thought to have, especially at that age. And I don't think I've ever met someone who's spoken badly about the Geelong Football Club unless you're in opposition and you get sick of Geelong winning all the time, obviously. But if you're really having a serious deep down conversation, the kind of football club that Geelong is and the way that they prioritise people first is just exactly who I am as a person and exactly what I wanted to surround myself with. So options, but it was it was looking pretty likely on Geelong.
Can I circle back to Adam Selwood? So we here at K-Rock had such a wonderful relationship with Troy, who worked with us for years.
Wow.
And it devastated us.
Absolutely. Yep.
You spoke to Meg Soltry from the Addy and really opened up about your relationship with Adam only, 6 weeks ago or thereabouts?
Yeah, I spoke to Meg in Warrnambool, which was pre-preseason. I was a bit surprised about when that article came out because it was a bit furthering. I think Meg had, and I messaged her, I thought it was a really beautiful and touching article she'd end up looping back on, that the story was a bit bigger. But, yeah, I did speak to Meg a little while ago,
Was that, getting to know you, I think it was easy for you to open up and have those conversations that you seemed to be able to go, I trust this person to tell the story and to do it the right way. You're comfortable in that environment to go, I really want to talk about this and the profound impact that Adam had on me.
Yeah, I would probably, I think what you've raised is probably comes twofold to me, because I would come back and say that I don't feel like it felt easy to speak about that. I don't feel like that came naturally to me, obviously. Yeah, like I mentioned, Adam was probably the closest thing to, you know, a life mentor and real dominant male figure for me in my life. And so with that in mind and with the impact he had on me, I think rather than speaking off, lack of weight of that conversation, it was more like I can't not speak about this man because of who he was, and because of there's that side of it in terms of who he was as a person, and who he is as a person, and also just like I've mentioned before, my passion for mental health, and as much as I would love to not be sitting here tying Adam into that conversation, he's very much a part of it now, and just deepens the meaning for me because of the fact that it's always and most often, the people that you least expect that are really, really struggling deep down. And yeah, like I mentioned, I think that at the end of the day, and I know Adam, because of how often I spoke to him, would have loved for his impact to be further than his own struggles. So I would like to think that me speaking about that and speaking about him not only is a tribute to him and towards his family for recognising him as a person, for Troy as well and for the entire Selwood family, but to continue that conversation, because I would rather not have to sit here and speak about the fact that they're not with us anymore. So
have you reached out to Bryce and Marie or Joel or Scott?
Not personally, no. So I have had quite a close relationship with, and still do, with Fiona, who's Adam's wife. I flew over to Perth when the funeral was held at the West Coast Football Club. I saw Fiona there and have touched base with her off the back of that, and will continue to maintain a close relationship with all of them.
If anybody was coming for any full-on footy talk, you're going to be sorely disappointed, because footy consumes you outside of, making things, fixing things and doing podcasts. So
absolutely.
How's your clothing line going?
Great. Yeah, clothing line. I actually spoke about this. We are doing something at the club at the moment around Cat's stories. So Dom Kondo, who is our new head of AFL Women's, has just come in and taken the program by storm.
Are you eating better since she returned?
How can I not? She's
She's a qualified nutritionist.
Yes, absolutely. I actually missed out on having her when she was involved within the club within that capacity, but has just absolutely come to the club in full strength and Dom has such a strong strong value around people and ensuring that the culture is built by people and good people and ensuring that those people within that feel valued and seen. And so she's introduced something this season where every Thursday there'll be two of us, whether it's coaches, anyone throughout the program, players, will share our story. So I was going to touch on that before when I mentioned my home in Darlington. I spoke a bit about that to the group and also just my interests outside of footy. Like you mentioned, footy is just everything when you get caught up in it. So there's the motorsport stuff and everything that comes with that. But yeah, the clothing line, the creativeness that I get to explore with that. And I think I would say that creativeness is probably, I don't know, 20% of why I love doing it so much. I think the other 80 is based off and built off what we've just spoken about, the bigger meaning behind it.
Yeah.
I thought to myself that I obviously have a massive passion for streetwear and clothing and all things comfortable, everything comfortable clothing. But I thought if I'm going to do this, I would say the idea for boxes originated from mental health and what I was going through at the time. And I thought, how can I have an impact in this area that's potentially different to the way that things are done at the moment? I love clothing. Is there a way that I can somehow interpret messaging throughout that? And yeah, I'm just really enjoying doing that. And obviously, as we've mentioned with Adam and with Troy and you know, one too many people that we have to speak about in this space. It's a small part I feel like I can play in, you know, trying to make a difference.
Yep. Let's talk a little bit of footy.
Yes, yeah. Please. I'm sure everyone wants to talk about
footy. Yes, all right. So obviously we know a couple of injuries. Darbs has hurt a calf, was on the injury report. Jackie Parry, hopefully that knee not too seriously. And there was another injury that I actually didn't know rated as an injury, but I saw Bowen leather poisoning.
I'm just like, what if I injured?
27. Is that a career high?
Yes. Yes, 27 is a career high.
It did just follow you, did it?
No, this is what I was speaking to you about before, Kingy. I think there's times where I want to help so bad that I end up, like I'm playing half forward and I'm ending up in the goal square for our D50. And, you know, I think there's, like I mentioned too, there's games that, you know, instead of having one possession, the ball gets handballed back to you and it's, you know, culminated that way. So I don't feel like I went anywhere out of my usual attempt to try and play my role. But some days it just, you know, get a couple more on you and, you know, I won't think too much about it.
Bloody kangaroos.
Oh, I just, you know, they're the reigning premiers for a reason, you know.
And they did it without Carney and King too, which
absolutely
is more frightening for
absolutely
the rest of the comp.
Absolutely. And I just, you know, you can't, I don't think you can undersell the consistency throughout that group and what they've been able to achieve in, you know, I would say a shorter amount of time than some other teams that have been around for longer. And I think, you know, on the weekend for us, round one, it was just, you know, a case of that consistency just coming out on field. As I mentioned previously, I think North were able to hold that for four quarters. I think we had a lot of moments where we showed how we want to play this season, but you know, from a consistency perspective, that's definitely something we want to be able to prioritise, is to put up a stronger fight for four quarters.
Adelaide this week, and of course you don't want to get Adelaide off the back of a loss, which is not ideal. I think that's the result. Is that the result? We know Hawthorn beat Brisbane in Brisbane,
yep.
But St Kilda beating Adelaide is the result that got everybody by surprise.
Yeah, and I think it would have taken Adelaide by surprises as well. Obviously, you know, have just had such a successful history, and like I mentioned, I don't think Adelaide will be anywhere near satisfied with that. If anything, you know, it would have taken them by surprise, as we've just mentioned. So I don't at all doubt that Adelaide are going to be coming up against us with extra fuel to it, but in the same sense, we also lost round one, so we've definitely got something to play in that as well.
There's a bit of a gap in the Formula One season at the moment. How are you coping, because you love your F1?
Yep, I love my F1, and I love Lewis Hamilton.
Did you get Max Verstappen in yesterday's media conference that you did?
I did.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I did. And I was kind of expecting them to cut it out, and so they've just gone live with the whole presser.
It was relevant, though.
It was relevant, because I was talking about the fact of dominance of teams, and we were talking, I would find any way to bring Formula One in, as we are doing right now.
Why do you love Formula? Is it because of the love of cars?
I would say I love motorsport, but I have this... Is it a fangirl? I don't know. I love Lewis Hamilton. Like, really? I love him, yes, but I love everything he's about. And I think I love his ability to be so much more than an athlete, I think. I think I find that very, very incredible and something I respect a lot in an athlete.
How would Michaela Bowen react if you're walking down the street of Darlington and
he walked past? Oh, yeah. Again, in my cat story, I told the girls that every year I go on my own. I often get to the front gate at 5 a.m. and I sprint. Kingy, I sprint to, and bear in mind, this is off season for us, so I'm like,
don't you ping a car.
Not as conditioned as I may be. I sprint to the front of the stage to try and get as close to him as I can. So I'm sure Michaela back in Darlington would probably, yeah, not have forgotten about that.
The Oscar Piastri stand, you must be wrapped with that for Melbourne Grand Prix going forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's I think it's well overdue, and I think he's just, you know, someone that has been very underestimated in the past in terms of what his potential looked like. I think, again, when we speak of athletes, he's someone that's just so reserved and doesn't necessarily come across with the confidence that maybe a Max Verstappen would, or I can't believe we're speaking F1. This is so great. But
this is your safe space every
week. I love this.
You can talk about whatever you want.
Well, when the season's back up and running, I'll have a lot to say about it.
Was there a 4-week gap? It's the biggest gap of the year,
yeah,
between races.
Yeah. Well, for someone, like I was saying, because of how closely I would follow Lewis Hamilton, he's had a shocker. He's had a shocking start to the Formula One. He's obviously moved across from Mercedes to Ferrari, and it's just, you know, it highlights that often, you know, a change in environment is massive, even for a, you know.
They get seduced by the prancing horse, and they think everything's going to happen there, and
it doesn't necessarily. It just hasn't in the past as well. So, but I think for him, you know, he's very strong on just wanting to have this break as a reset, as we often feel throughout the season, is that we have nowhere near as long of a season as the men's, but by the time we get to, you know, the 12th, if not longer, with finals, like it's nice, same with the boys, to have a couple buys in there to reset and be able to come back even stronger.
Does Piastri win the drivers?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I would think so. I think anyone else is probably too far out the picture, and as much as I love Lando, I think he's mentally, I think he shoots himself in the foot often.
When do McLaren start manipulating it for what they want?
I love that we're doing this right now. In terms of the team?
Yeah, because the other thing is too, they'll look at who's getting, won't they look at who's getting paid the bigger bonus for winning the world title and going, hang on, we don't want to fork out that much.
Well, if you're looking at it from a business sense, Kingy, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's interesting, that one, because if you were to look at it purely from a business lens and popularity, I think Lando Norris is their, you know, he's their showtime driver.
The pin-up boy.
Yeah, pin-up boy, absolutely. I think he's shown that he can, you know, be dominant. But Oscar's just this Aussie, like, no-fuss, ruthless driver that's come through and probably doesn't have all the bells and whistles that Lando does. Mm. So I think they would make more money off Lando winning the World Championship, the Drivers' Championship, but I am backing Oscar.
Have you been to a Grand Prix other than Melbourne?
No. I would love to.
Which one?
Monaco.
Yeah. That's everybody's answer,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, Monaco or maybe Abu Dhabi. Maybe one of the finales would be cool. I will never forget, of course, Lewis Hamilton fanatic. I would never forget that one where it was like 2021, I think, and Max Verstappen and Lewis had that last race that it was like, who's winning the Drivers' Championship? Don't get me started on how it ended. But anyway, I would have loved to have been there.
I'm a little bit proud Victorian, but a little bit old school. I grew up with Adelaide.
Yes, okay.
And it was usually the last of the season.
Yeah.
And it numerous times was, you know, Nigel Mansell blowing a tyre, stuff like that. Go back and watch the highlights.
Wow.
The Adelaide Street Circuit was.
I didn't even realise there was. When was the last year that Adelaide would have been?
95. So they ran from 85 to 95.
Wow.
As part of, so we always had an Australian Grand Prix, but it used to be.
Always Melbourne.
Well, called a park, like it was at Albert Park, called a park,
All
different places had it. But to be part of the actual F1 circuit was Adelaide in 85.
Yeah, wow.
And like that circuit, like it used to, like it ran through a horse racing track and into the edge of East Terrace and all that sort of stuff. It's actually
incredible. I'll have to watch it back.
You'll have to. And that was pure. Like, that was Nigel Mansell, Alain Prost, Ayrton Senna.
Wow. All the big times.
That era.
Yeah.
It was early Schumacher.
Yep. Yeah.
It was.
There wouldn't be anyone on the current grid that would have been around.
No. It's 30 years since the last race in Adelaide.
Wow.
And then when
Alonso
when,
would be close, Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, he wouldn't be far, but yeah.
Maybe rookie.
Yeah, very young.
Yeah,
for sure. So went to Melbourne in 96 and became, well, then it used to be was the first Grand Prix, I think, of the season.
Yeah, wow.
Around Labor Day weekend. And then obviously around the old circuit was all done up and stuff like that. But, Adelaide, because it used to be around Melbourne Cup weekend.
Okay. Right.
The Sunday of or the Sunday after.
Yeah.
I just remember as a kid, you know, hot summers or spring afternoons.
So when's the last time you've been to a Grand Prix?
Never been.
You're kidding.
No. Nah, so guess what we're doing
so
next year.
So this year. I was just about to say tickets have just come out. Yep. Kingy, we're on.
Right, we're going. All right. I'm happy to do that.
Love
that. I've never been a huge... I like my V8s.
Yep. Beautiful.
Growing up in Geelong, Ford, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Dick Johnson, number 17, Shells. Love it.
Yep.
But yeah, not a... I haven't... Probably because now we've got an Australian... interest. When Webber was driving for Minardi, you know, had that wonderful finish in Melbourne all those years ago.
Yeah, I think he's mentoring Piastri.
And we've had Ricciardo, all that sort of stuff. So I missed Jack Brabham. I missed
Jack Doohan.
Jack Doohan's now racing. I missed obviously Jack Brabham, who was elite, built his own cars.
Yep.
Alan Jones won the World Drivers in 1980.
Yep.
And then we had a bit of a gap. We didn't have anybody on the grid.
Yeah.
Alan Jones finished in the mid-80s. So it's probably now the interest maybe comes back.
Piastri.
And it became a bit predictable there for a while.
Well, that's what I was trying to say yesterday on the presser. I'm like, I love the Formula One, but every time when you're hearing the Dutch anthem, because Max is just, you know, dominating. It's the same thing with Adelaide, with all due respect. Like, there's 18 teams in the comp, and everyone's, as I mentioned, getting better by season by season. Mm. So change is not a bad thing.
We're going to do a couple of segments.
Love that.
Let's do Cat Who Caught Your Eye.
Mm-hmm.
Each week.
Mm-hmm.
So which cat stood out for you?
Yep.
Win, lose, or draw?
Yep.
Who's the cat that caught your eye on the weekend?
Can I be a broken record?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you mention her yesterday?
I did.
Yep.
In the presser.
Yep.
I know she ended up hearing it. And I think, honestly, Kingy, if you were to have any one of us, our Cats girls, on the podcast, they couldn't go past Georgie Rankin. Mm. I don't mean to harp on about her, but I think... It just it hits so much harder because of I think what she went through last season, missing out in the 21 a couple times, and that's that's not easy to swallow for anyone. And I always remember I was trying to support G through that last season, and probably just the identity piece as well. Around I think often when you're out of the 21. You can there's elements of the fact that you identify yourself as someone who is outside the 21. So I always remember trying to speak to G around last season that when I first came over here, I wouldn't have known much about her other than opposition. We've got some opposition photos against each other.
Yep.
But that I always in my mind coming over here as a new player, you were in my starting five backs. Like and that's how my mind associates you. I understand you're going through something different at the moment, but don't forget that. Don't forget that's who you are, and that's where I hope you get back to. So, to see G not only back on the starting team, but just to absolutely dominate across the ground on the weekend, and I think just play with such aggression, confidence, and she was just attacking the ball everywhere she possibly could. So she is absolutely my cat for this week.
Cat that caught the eye, Georgie Rankin, best of Bowie. The rest of the competition, it doesn't have to be an individual. It can be a team or it can be an individual performance. What's the one that stood out for you?
I can absolutely give you an individual. Goes back close to home for me, back at West Coast. I think I'll give a Bowie mention.
Oh, the old honourable mention.
There's an honourable mention to, it's Lucia Painter, I think that's her name.
Yep.
Rising star for this week. Absolutely dominant.
Yep.
And I think I saw on Nick Nat's story, Nick Natanui, he posted a video of all the West Coast boys getting around her, and it made me think back to my debut, being like, wow, I wonder how I would have felt kicking three goals and having however many touches she did.
13 disposals 13 and 5 disposals, marks.
Incredible. The confidence around her is awesome.
They were 13 kicks, not a handball.
Wow. Unreal. So she is absolutely Bowie's honourable mention, but Bowie's best for this week would have to go to Ella Roberts. I think I just missed out on playing with Ella when I moved over to Geelong. So she it would have been her first year when I left, but it wasn't. I didn't miss out on seeing her juniors by any means. So she was. I was a Swan District product. She was product of. She's Margaret River girl. So
yep.
Played for Peel growing up, and I will never forget sitting in this. I think I was already with West Coast at this point, so I wasn't playing. But I remember sitting in the stands of one of the league, which is the over 18s women's waffle grand final. Yep. I think she was playing. I don't know if she was playing unders or if she had just made age. And I always remember hearing about this Ella Roberts. And I was like, I don't really have much to do with her. We must have just missed out on like our state pathways together. And I was like, all right, I'm sitting here. I'll give it. Sure. I want to see what she can do. I was sitting there very open-minded. Kick seven, had like 20 plus disposals and won the grand final for Peel. So I, you know, that was just clearly just the... you know, the start of Ella, and I know she's spoken about highly throughout the competition, but I just thought on the weekend she was the difference for West Coast, especially. I was speaking to Shannon Neal throughout the club over the past week, and he just mentioned when he was watching her, it's like she just went in harder than anyone else.
Yep.
It's really great conversation because I probably took from that being like, okay, well, that's what it looks like for me to watch Ella Roberts and for Shannon to say, well, she just looked like she was going in harder, and I was like, great, I'm going to do that.
two goals, 24 disposals, 8 marks, 4 tackles and a couple of clearances.
She was on fire, absolutely. Yeah. She's a great gal too.
Can I give a shout-out to somebody?
Yeah.
It's the best name in the AFL.
Zippy. I know her well. I know Zippy very well. Go for it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She was so fun
24?
To watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. I'll just let me clarify that.
She, I think, equaled the... no, she needed to have one more to equal the...
26.
No worries.
Yeah.
Needed to have one more to equal the highest disposal on debut, and then 2 more to beat it, I think.
Yep.
Yep.
5 marks,
yep.
But 549 metres gained, which was 50 metres more than the next player on the ground. And guess who the next player on the ground was? Monconti.
Well, yeah, wow.
That's fair, isn't it?
Same thing though, Kingy.
And she played 12% less game time than Mon played 100% of game time.
Wow.
Zippy's only played 88%.
Wow.
Well, only.
And I just can't help from think back to my debut being like, that is incredible to come onto the scene and just, you know, again, there's been a lot of talk about a lot of girls coming in this season, and to go out like that and just show, she just plays with such a natural flair, and she's so laid back, so chilled. I knew her mum extremely well and still do. Shani played with her at Swan Districts and just missed out on playing with Zippy, but know her extremely well, and she's going to absolutely make a mark on the comp.
And they're here in a couple of weeks.
Yes, they are. Yeah, I think we're playing them round 3, is it, in GMHBA?
On a Saturday. Same time slot as the North Melbourne game. And then you'll... go to Perth at some stage.
Yes, to play West Coast.
Play West Coast.
Yeah.
So everybody you've mentioned.
Yes, well, full circle. We'll come back around.
You're going to have to play against.
Absolutely.
Have you had fun?
Yeah. Are you kidding? We just spoke F1 for about 10 minutes. Of course I had fun.
Thank you for opening up. But no, we've got 12 episodes to have a bit of fun. Well, maybe more, because if there's a finals campaign that goes.
We will have more.
We'll have more. We'll do more.
Yeah, we'll do more.
So good luck on the weekend. Thank you for doing this.
I appreciate that, Kingy. Thanks for the opportunity. That's super fun.
And we'll see you next week.
We'll see you soon. Thank you. The Cat Attack Podcast.
Kerr's Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.